Chuck Smeaton from the Royal Institution of Australia, and this is the Cosmos Briefing Podcast. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land wherever you are listening from today, and I'd like to pay my respects to elders past and present. Back in the 1940s, South Australian geologist Reg Sprigg first discovered Ediacaran fossils on the north end of Nilpena Station to the west of the Flinders Ranges, redefining the Earth's history by adding in a whole new period. The Department of Environment and Water in South Australia has recently teamed up with several non-profit organisations to purchase a chunk of Nilpena Station and turn it into the Nilpena-Ediacaran National Park. They're currently building trails, planning tours to the fossil site, and creating a visitors' centre which will have an audio-visual experience bringing a fossil bed to life. Today we talk to Ross Farger, the owner of Nilpena Station, Jason Irving, manager of the National Parks and Protected Air Program for the Department of Environment and Water, and Mary Drosser, Professor of Geology at the University of California in Riverside, USA. Today's interview is hosted by Cosmos journalist Lauren Fuge.
I'm here with Ross Farger, the owner of Nilpena Station, part of which has just become the new Nilpena-Ediacara National Park. Ross, can you tell us what's significant scientifically about the land that we're on?
A pretty amazing location here at Nilpena with some of the oldest known animal fossils in the world. So, we're looking back at 550-odd million years ago. So, and I think just with the lay of the land here, the Flinders Ranges, as it was uplifted sort of 250 million years ago, it's all on very severe angles and everything, but the site here at Nilpena was just a gentle tilt. So I think that's what's made it such a significant spot for the paleontologists and what have you to be able to work on this site, because it's much easier access, and it's quite flat relatively.
Mm-hmm. So you've been running sheep and cattle on this property for nearly 40 years. When did you find the fossils here? Did you know that they were here?
We knew that they were here as Reg Sprigg discovered the fossils on the north end of our place at the original Ediacara mine site back in the late 40s. And so we knew that they were here, but the site that we've now discovered was only 30 years ago. So, but in the same line of hills, so it wasn't really a shock, I suppose, to find them, but pretty amazing all the same.
Yeah. So how did you start working with scientists and paleontologists?
Well, I suppose it was after we first discovered them through a family friend of ours that came up here to have a look at the property when we first bought it, and Pam Hazenor is her name, and she looked at the ripple marks on the floor of the wool shed and the wool loading platform in front of it, and got very excited and said that she was learning all about them at uni at a seniors course she was doing. So that's when I suggested we could go up on the hill where I reckon that all of these slabs had come from. That's when we stumbled across the fossils at the first spot I pulled up at.
Yeah. And I know a few years ago you were honoured with an Amateur Paleontology Award. Can you tell me a bit about that and why you were given that award?
We had to travel over to Seattle for the World Paleontological Conference, I think they have every couple of years in America and different places, and I think that Mary Drosser had quite a bit to do with the nomination for me as a non-professional paleontologist for getting that award. But I think it was, possibly for the protection of the fossils and the ongoing work that we've been doing to help them at the site, and also to look after the site and make sure it's protected into perpetuity.
I'm
here with Jason Irving, the manager of the National Parks and Protected Area Program. We're in a pretty special place right now, Jason. This is the site of the new Nilpena Ediacara National Park. Can you tell me what's so unique about this area?
Yeah, this place is really truly amazing. It's one of the first places in the world where you see the dawn of animal life, and there's nowhere else in the world where you see it in such a open, accessible and unique way for people to actually see how life unfolded over time to create the first life of animals.
Mm-hmm. So paleontologists have been working here for a couple decades, but now with the new national park, other people will be able to come see it. Tell me about the new national park.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. The national park will be the centrepiece of our World Heritage bid for the Flinders Ranges, which is a narrative about the dawn of animal life and the atmospheric and climatic conditions that gave rise to that life. But also, Nilpena is a really special place for Adnyamutna culture and preserving the richness of that culture as part of that story and how those people lived in the Flinders Ranges. And also there's a huge diversity of environments out here, flood out areas and sand dunes and all sorts of things. But really at its core, Nilpena is about the fossils, and that's why we've been able to purchase the property from the previous owners, Joan and Ross Farger, who really cared for the property over those 30 years and encouraged the scientists to come out here and supported them in that.
So why is it important for people to be able to come out here and see places like this?
Well, it's part of our heritage and where animal life came from. And so for people to actually be able to come out here and experience it for themselves in the field and have those aha moments if I get it and understand that this is a really special place, that's a really great privilege for us to be able to provide that through a national park. But we've also got a really major responsibility in that, in protecting these fossils. And as part of that, we've got to manage the public access here so that people can come down here, but a bit like lots of other places in the world, or even here in South Australia, like Seal Bay and Marrickville Caves, where how we manage those resources lets people experience them, but protects them as well. So it will be a place that's guided access and well managed, but how we're able to do that in a way that gives everyone the confidence that we're protecting the fossils is paramount in our thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are these guys back here doing?
Yeah, well, this is part of the really exciting work out here, which is taking that fossil bed down from the field called Alice's Restaurant Bed, which is one of the most amazing fossil beds they've found out here. And they're measuring it up at the moment for building a special tray for it to go in. And also we've got down there some guys who are doing the AV experience as well. So people are seeing here literally that work in action as we're getting ready to move it down the next couple of months.
I'm here with Mary Droser, a paleontologist from the University of California in Riverside. You've been coming here for 20 years, right? Why do you come to this area?
Because I'm interested in the dawn of animal life, and it's the best place in the world to study the dawn of animal life. And the fossils are superb and unprecedented any place else.
Mm-hmm. So we're sitting on a sandstone bed right now. The fossils are in these beds, is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're sitting on a bed that has been flipped over. So we're sitting on the bottom of a sandstone bed. And these fossils are preserved, if you can imagine, a seafloor full of life, and a storm comes in and smothers that seafloor. And so you have a layer of sand, and that sand becomes rock. And we flip that over, and we get a cast of the top of that community. We get a sort of snapshot of all the organisms that were living there. So the fossils are on the bases of beds, and they're not the actual organisms. They're sort of casts, like when you put a cast on your arm. Mm-hmm. When you take that cast off, you have a mold of the outside of your arm. And that's the kind of thing we're looking at. And what we try to do is reconstruct the arm, mm-hmm. in this case.
So how old are these fossils?
They are about 550 million years old, which is half a billion years.
Mm-hmm.
It's really old. So they're the oldest multicellular animals on the planet. So it's really capturing that dawn of animal life.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them would probably be quite unrecognizable to us as animals today. If you were snorkeling through this sea, What kind of things would you see underneath? What do they look like?
So they would look totally bizarre, and you would think you were on an alien planet. Mm-hmm. And so we have things that look like bath mats, things that look kind of like a plant but aren't, are animals. We have organisms that have triradial symmetry. So what's that? We're all bilaterally symmetrical. Imagine if we had three-way symmetry. And at this time, there were things that had three-way symmetry. And those don't exist today. And some things moved, and a lot of things didn't move. And very little would look like anything today. And yet, amongst these are our oldest ancestors.
So you're still going to be working here and excavating here for some years to come?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah? Yes, when I first came 20 years ago, I thought I'd be here for 3 or 4 years. So now 20 years later, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be wheeling me out in a wheelchair, but that'll work out well. I mean, you know, when I'm like 100, because we're putting in really nice new trails, which will make it great for people to be able to come and visit and have access. Mm-hmm. And that's been something we've wanted for a really long time, is for, mm-hmm. you know, for people to be able to come and just see why this place is so special and just see these extraordinary fossils.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there are more fossils to be discovered or more species to be discovered through here?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Many lifetimes worth of work and species to be discovered. And that's just really exciting. This will be going for generations and generations. But it's, you know, it's fun. It is a privilege to work on this stuff, and it has been a privilege my whole career. I mean, I can't believe how lucky I am. It's like the best job in the world.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. Remember that you can head to cosmosmagazine.com via the link in the description for more great content. You can also subscribe to Cosmos Magazine, Australia's only science print magazine, and Cosmos Weekly, with its access to our exclusive deep dive insights into the biggest issues. You can watch and listen to all our Cosmos briefings via the link that you'll also find in the description. And remember, if you support science and its communication, please support our work at the Royal Institution of Australia. I'm Chuck Smeaton. Today's interview was hosted by Lauren Fuge, and our executive producer is Catherine Roberts. Thank you.